Hi, we are going to dive right in into a Bible story. This is a Bible story that's found in the Old Testament in the book of Judges, chapter 6. And when we pick up this story, we're in the middle of something that's going on. The nation of Israel, God's chosen people, are under attack from a group of people called the Midianites. The Midianites have rode into town. They're stealing everything the Israelites have. The Bible describes them like locusts taking over everything. And so our poor Israelites, they're trying to figure out what to do, and they're scared. They're scared to death. And we zero in on one Israelite in particular, one main character. And this is a guy named Gideon. Gideon is taking wheat and threshing it. Now, normally what you do when you're threshing wheat is you go to the top of a hill and you thresh the wheat. Threshing the wheat means you're taking the wheat, hitting it against the ground, trying to break off the kernels that you want to keep and let the chaff blow away. It's a big, messy process. And that's why they would do it out in the open up on a big hill so that the chaff would blow away and you didn't get it all over yourself. Well, that's not where Gideon was threshing wheat. Gideon, scripture says, was threshing wheat inside of a wine press. A wine press in those days was a dark, dank cave. He was hiding. He was taking the wheat and threshing it in this small cave and getting that stuff all over him and, of course, sneezing and runny nose and eye. And it was just a mess. And he was doing that because he knew if he threshed the wheat out on the hill, the Midianites would see him and come and take what he had and maybe do something worse. So he was hiding. I want you to get your mind in the same spot as Gideon's mind, a man who is hiding away inside of this wine press. And then scripture says that suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and sat down under an oak tree outside the wine press. Now Gideon sees this and he comes outside to check out what's going on. He sees the angel. Picture Gideon hiding away, fearful, scared, and he comes out and there is an angel of the Lord. Gideon may be in his lowest spot and there's an angel of the Lord. And what does the angel of the Lord say to this timid, scared man? Judges 6:12 says this, "When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said this, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.'" The angel says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Gideon's thinking, "Who are you talking to? I'm hiding out in a cave. I'm not even brave enough to go out and face the, I am hiding here. I think you got the wrong guy, pal." Gideon says, I don't get this. None of this makes sense. Gideon says, if he was with us, if God was actually with us, where are all of his mighty works? Didn't he save us from Egypt? We're abandoned now. We're abandoned to these Midianites. And the angel just kind of looks past that and he goes, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I the Lord not sending you?" Of course, Gideon's thinking, "Dude, it's still me. I'm the scared guy down here hiding. I don't know who you're talking to." Gideon says, "How can I save Israel? My clan, my crew is the weakest in all of Manasseh." Manasseh wasn't even a full tribe. Some people think it was like a half tribe of the nation of Israel. "And I am the least in my family." Gideon is saying, "Mighty warrior, I'm the lowest of the low of the lowest of the low of the low. So I don't know who you think you're talking to." And then it says, "The Lord said through the angel, 'I will be with you. And you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive.'" Now, Gideon's story goes on from there, and it's a barn burner. It's a great story. Over time, Gideon starts to, it takes some time, but he starts to believe less about who he thinks he is and more about who God says he is, that mighty warrior. And there's a tremendous lesson for us to learn from Gideon. Because I don't know about you, but I know about me, and there is a tendency in me that says, pull back, pull back. There's other people who can do amazing things in the kingdom of God. There's other people who can have a profound impact on someone's life, not me. There are other mighty warriors, but I'm not one of them. And I would say for all of us, wherever we are in our spiritual journey, it's high time we stop defaulting to how we see ourselves and change up and believe that we are who God says we are. My first point is this: you are not who you think you are. You are not who you think you are. I think of every superhero movie I've ever seen, their origin story always has this moment where Peter Parker or Clark Kent or whoever goes, wait a minute, I may be more than I thought I was. And that is a profound shift. That's where the movie changes, because suddenly this person is having to believe there's something different. There's something unique about me, and I need to do something good with it. How awful would the story of Spider-Man be if Peter Parker goes, wait a minute, I got bit by a spider. I suddenly have spider powers, but I'd rather stay home with Aunt May and eat cold spaghetti and apple pie. And then that's the end of the movie, just them eating cold spaghetti and apple pie for some reason. That's not an exciting story. That's not the story of Spider-Man. That's not the story of Gideon. And I can state with full confidence, that's not the story God has for your life or for my life. We have to believe that we are not who we've kind of thought we were, hiding in a cave, not bringing forth who we are to help other people, to bless other people. We're in the middle of this series called Not Alone. And Ron talked about how we were made to connect with one another. God created us. God designed us to have connections with one another. And then Jason last week talked about how, hey, you can connect with people by getting in a group and surrounding yourself with a group of people, even though it might be challenging, even though it might be hard, even though you might have some history and some baggage and all that, to get into a group and to connect with other people. And I just want to affirm that. I want to affirm you need to be in those spiritual relationships, in those groups where you're talking to other people about things. Let me just say something about our current cultural moment, which isn't just a moment, it's like 25,000 moments in one right now. There is a lot to process. We are in a river that is raging, and it's hard to get your bearings. How much more important is it to be in a collection of people, a small collection of people, who you can process all of this with and talk to them about it and figure out what's going on? Too many of us, myself included, we default to Facebook or Twitter or the news or the world to guide us in how we respond to what's going on. And too few of us, myself included, default to Scripture first. What are my Jesus follower friends saying first? That needs to inform me first. And groups like this, starter groups that we're doing through Restoration, they provide a ready-made spot for that kind of thing to happen. So can I just encourage you on just high-fiving with Jason as I pass in his talk, join a group. And really more than anything, what you want is just to have some sort of avenue to have spiritual, God-focused relationships and conversations. Spiritual, God-focused relationships and conversations. That could be in a starter group. That could be a group of you dudes who hang out, seven of you guys who go and eat nachos together. But you don't just eat nachos and talk about the Broncos. You eat nachos, maybe talk about the Broncos. Do they still exist? I don't even know. And then you go, let's talk about what's going on in the Lord. What's the Lord teaching you? What's the Lord growing in you? And good things start to happen there. Or maybe it's starting to own your role as a spiritual human being in your home and having spiritual conversations with your wife, with your husband, with your children. That's what God wants for us. But you cannot step into that until you change the way you look at yourself and go, I'm not who I think I am, which is just somebody who hangs out on the sidelines. I'm somebody who God wants me to dive right in. So the first thing is, you are not who you think you are. The second thing is this: you are necessary. Do you believe that? You are necessary. Ron says like this, you need someone and someone needs you. Someone needs you, not just someone in vague person. God has set things up to make it so that someone needs you. And that's important. Well, let's eat a big chunk of spiritual, scriptural steak. You ready for this? This is in the book of 1 Corinthians, which is in the New Testament. It's a letter Paul is writing to Jesus followers, trying to get them to understand this concept, trying to get them to dive into owning who God's made them to be as they work with other believers. So catch this. There's different kinds of gifts, and he'll talk about the gifts in a moment. But hey guys, it's the same Spirit who distributes them. There are different kinds of service, ways of serving other people, serving the Lord, but it's the same Lord. Different kinds of workings, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. He's just saying, look, we may all come at this from different angles. It's still God and we're still devoted to him, one and only. Now, catch this. Now to each one, can I say it this way? Now to each one of you, the manifestation, the full realization of the Spirit of God is given. Why? For the common good. And let's think of common good there for a second. And let's think of that group of people, the buddies eating the nachos, the starter group, the people in your home. It's given to you for the common good. To one person in that crew, let's think of those guys eating nachos. To that guy eating the nachos, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. Somehow God has gifted this guy to say the right thing at the right time that just clears out all the mess and says, this is the wisdom of God. And that's his role. His role is unique. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. He might know something that the other people don't know and he speaks it out. To another, faith by the same Spirit. This other guy's going, look, I'm just going to bring the faith element in here. We need to just believe. This doesn't feel true, but Scripture says true. So we just need to believe. We need to have faith. To another, gifts of healing by that same Spirit. To another, catch this, miraculous powers. He's turning the nachos into steak. Like, we don't know what this guy's doing, but he has some, I mean, this is, you might go, this seems weird. Okay, it's in your Bible, so whatever, get over it. That God is going to do something amazing through that cat. To another, prophecy, that means he's hearing what God is saying and communicating it to the group. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. To another, interpreting those tongues. I don't have time to go into all of those things. Start researching those things. What I want you to identify is that each person has something different and they all have to contribute those things. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit and he distributes them to each one as he determines. The point here is that crew of people around the nachos, that group in the starter group, those people in the home having spiritual conversations, this is a variegated group. This is a group that includes variety. Same God, same truth, same Scripture, same Him, but how and what God is doing in the group is different from each person. Elsewhere, Paul says, we're like a body. The body is not a stack of hands. That'd be pretty weird. The body's not a bunch of eyeballs. The body's not a bunch of uvulas. Can I say uvulas? Yeah, uvulas. It's a bunch of different things and they're all necessary. Do you believe that you are necessary in that starter group, in that nacho group, in that home area you're at? Do you believe that God might have a unique way of blessing other people? You need to, because Scripture says it's true. So that's our second point. You are necessary. I'll turn this on myself, because it's hard for me to believe this sometimes. I'm necessary. I don't get it. But God says I'm necessary, and I have to come correct to that truth. The third thing is this. You were designed to be active. You were designed to be active. 1 Corinthians 14, this is later in that same letter, Paul says this, what should we say, brothers and sisters? That's you, that's me. What should we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each one of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. I'm gonna clap on this because I want you to pay attention if maybe you're checking your email or something. Everyone, everything must be done so that the church may be built up. What that means is, and I'm about to step on some toes here, but that's okay, some of these toes are mine, that this experience right here of everybody sit down and shut up because Jeff is going to talk to you isn't really church life. We're gonna make some hamburger out of sacred cows here. Okay, so that we're all like, no. Church is the person speaking and I listen. Nah, not in my Bible, not in my Bible. My Bible says that when members of the body of Christ gather together, we all bring something unique. We all bring something unique. Normal church time, remember normal church when you show up the building years ago, was, forgive me, for the most part, sit down, shut up, you can sing along, but really the guy up front's gonna be the one who's singing. And then I want you to listen to this person talk about some things, and then you're done, and so leave. There is a place for that. Let me say that. There is a good place for that. And there's a place to go, hey, I'm just gonna listen to this guy teach for a while. Okay, great. But what we miss out on, all of that is passive. God wants us active. So where are you active in your spirituality? Where are you active in your groups, your nacho group, your starter group, your home life? Where are you active? Are you actively bringing the one thing that God can distribute to other people only through you? This passivity is what kills the body of Christ. Don't believe me? You ever gone to church 52 weeks in a row and gone, I'm really surprised my spiritual growth hasn't been more? Yeah, it's because it's just been passivity and it hasn't been something that is active. Now, I get it. We all have this gag reflex towards this. No. The pastor person is the person who does this. The person leading the group, they're the person who does. I'm just here to listen and check it out. That's, can I say demonic? Can I say that that's not God's plan? That's the enemy's plan? The enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy is looking at you going, shut up. And God's looking at him going, you shut up. You speak up. You have something to offer. I've been watching this documentary about the Chicago Bulls in the 1990s. And of course, Michael Jordan, he's the star of the show, right? He's Mr. Dunk, high flying, whatever. He's doing all sorts of amazing things. But there's this moment in the 1993 finals. I think this is at the 1993 finals. It's game six. The Bulls are up 3-2. Game comes down to the wire. Who makes the game-winning, series-winning championship shot? Michael Jordan. Nope, not him. This one footnote in NBA history, point guard John Paxson. John Paxson hit the game-winning three at the end of that game to win the championship. Now, what if Paxson went, hey, guys, I'm not Michael Jordan. We just need Mikey to do everything. I'm just gonna hang out on the side and you know, let's just let Michael do everything. There's a strong chance the Bulls would have lost that game and maybe even lost that series and lost that championship. Paxson stepped up. You ever been in a work environment where there's a team doing something and there's people who are like, not me. I'm not really contributing, participating. We need you. We need John Paxson. We need Michael Jordan. We need Scottie Pippen. We need everybody. That's God speaking. Everyone is necessary. Everyone is necessary to make that nacho group come to life, to make the starter group come to life, to make spiritual discussions in the home come to life. We've acquiesced for far too long. And we've gone, who's the leader here? You talk. I'll just take notes. And maybe I'll come away with something good. Hey, there's some goodness to listening to other people, But we've gone so far that way, we've missed out on our own callings to participate. And let me say about participating, I'm not talking about, so hey, if you've got an opinion, speak up. Opinions are worthless, really. What I'm talking about is owning whatever your gift is, that unique spiritual gift God has given to you, and bringing it to bear in that group setting. Now, I don't know what yours is. And if you're like most Christian Americans, you don't know what it is either. Research, start figuring things out. Contact us here at Restoration. We've got great resources to help you discover what your spiritual gifts are. Why? So you can go, great, I've got the teaching badge, or I've got the encouragement badge. No, so that you can take that badge and do something with it and own the fact you're an encourager, and in those settings, you encourage. Or you're a teacher and you're like, in this setting, I'm not gonna go, hey, everybody, sit down and shut up. I'm gonna talk for 45 minutes. But you might teach about, hey, I just think there's some misunderstanding about the scriptures here. Can I just teach for 10 minutes on what I think God is really saying here? Or maybe a word of knowledge, God has given you some knowledge that other people don't, and you would just speak that up. We have to get past this gag reflex that the kingdom of heaven is passive. That, my pals, is a lie. It's a lie. The kingdom of heaven is active. And that activity requires you. And it requires me. And it requires all of us to discover what gift God has given us and to leverage that gift. If we don't, we're gonna run into problems. I remember in college when I started to take my faith a little more seriously, I'd join little groups and I just sit kind of, I just wanna listen and hear. And I remember a few times where I would start to feel like God was going, you have something to contribute here. Oh, not me, God. Oh, that's sweet of you, but really we wanna hear from that gal or this guy. And God would go, no. You're necessary. Speak up. Bring what I'm giving to you. Now for me, and it took me a while to discover this, I got some sort of teaching thing. I don't quite get it, but I would start to realize, okay, in this moment, I just need to explain this passage. And when I would do that, please don't read this as bragging. I'm just saying God wants to do this for all of us. He wants to do something amazing through all of us. I would just go, I'd come up with some analogy for what was going on in the scripture. And I remember I would watch people nod their heads and go, well, now that finally makes sense. Now I don't go, see, I'm awesome. If I had suspenders, that's not the point. The point is, isn't God awesome that he would use a jacked up, shy, mumble mouth kid like me to communicate something that would impact someone for the kingdom? The answer is yes. It's amazing he would do something like that. All glory, honor to him, not to me. Same with you. If you own what God has for you, you'll start to find that you are a valuable tool for other people to help them. My wife is the world's greatest encourager. I think that's been recorded by Congress at some point. She is great at encouraging people. And the more she owns that and steps into situations where someone is feeling like, I think I'm doing what God wants, but I'm not sure. When she zeroes in on the right thing and they're doing it, she is their cheerleader. She is their cheerleader. And people are walking away from interactions with her going, I feel better about continuing following God in this. I feel better about that. Because that person just got a big old pat on the back from my sweet wife who knows she's an encourager and walks in that encouragement gift. I want that for you. God wants that for you. This is God's plan. Last thing, this requires something, and it requires this. It requires that in those situations, you be brave. You may feel like, oh, I don't know if I can do. Be brave, and you may mess up. That's fine. Be humble and go, hey, I'm sorry. I don't think I did that right. And then get better. Don't be brave, mess up, and go, I'm done doing that. Be brave, be humble, and get better. Will you do this? Will you believe you are who God says you are? Will you believe that you're necessary? And will you move away from being passive to being active? Last thing before we pray. If you're not a Jesus follower, none of this is applicable to you yet. If you're not a Jesus follower, can I appeal to you? Be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to the Heavenly Father who loves you and who laid down his life through his son Jesus to bring you into the kingdom of the Son he loves. If that's you, would you drop it in the little chat thing or reach out to us through the website and just email Ron, our head pastor, and just let them know that is the most important thing. That is more important than anything. But if you're a Jesus follower, own who you are and walk forward in it. Let's pray. God, all I can think is how great you are to save a wretch like me, and not just save me, but to start to use me. You want to use all of us. Help us to cease thinking of ourselves the old way and to realize we are valuable, and it is imperative that we step into our roles that you have given us to bless other people. May that be true for us today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.